Did you know the guy who's responsible for Bugs Bunny and Elmer Fudd and all those other Looney Tunes characters? Did you know he actually went to high school in Portland? He did. And let me tell you, his teachers weren't super impressed with his voice abilities, but radio listeners were. Just not impressed enough to give him a decent living doing it, which is probably just as well, because if he had been able to make decent money in Portland, he probably would have never left. I'll tell you the story in just a minute. I'm Finn J.D. John, and you're listening to me reading you an archive column from the weekly newspaper column I write, Offbeat Oregon History. I do this every weekday morning. Of course, if you subscribe to this podcast, you already know that. If you're not subscribed and want some more information about it, stay tuned or see offbeatoregon.com. By the way, it is free to subscribe. Today's column was first published on December 18th, 2011, under the headline, Voice of Looney Tunes Was the Terror of His Portland High School. Here we go. The hallway at Lincoln High School in Portland was empty except for a 14-year-old student named Melvin Blank, who was walking along listening to the echoes his footsteps made. Melvin was probably there to serve a term of detention. He was a classic classroom clown, the kind of kid that makes teachers remove their hair by the fistful. Melvin was by no means a bad kid, but he had a round, cherubic face that seemed permanently set in a slightly mischievous smile, a zany sense of humor, and a seeming inability to sit still and keep his mouth shut during classroom time. He also had a freakish ability to imitate voices, including, of course, those of his teachers. On this particular day, Melvin had worked out a wonderfully wild, slightly sinister cackling laugh that he no doubt hoped to use one day in a classroom when a teacher wasn't looking. The hallway's acoustics were so perfect, he just had to try it out. Melvin ran down the hall, shrieking out his laugh and enjoying the echoes as the empty high school hall reverberated with the racket. At the end of the hall, he discovered he wasn't quite alone in the school. There with him, looking utterly unimpressed with his voice talents, stood the principal of Lincoln High, a fellow whom Melvin knew well after numerous referrals to his office for classroom disruptions. Quote, "My nervous explanation about utilizing the hallway's natural echo did not evoke a shred of compassion, the principal's frown deepening by the second," Melvin recounted later in his memoirs. "The second I finished, he exploded, 'I should kick you out of this school!' But he never did." 20 years later, that principal and the rest of the country was undoubtedly very familiar with that laugh. It belonged to a cartoon character named Woody Woodpecker. Melvin Blank, the boisterous and clownish Lincoln High School student, is better known today as Mel Blanc, the voice of Bugs Bunny, Daffy Duck, Yosemite Sam, Pepe Le Pew, Barney Rubble, and about 6 other cartoon characters from the golden age of cartoons around World War II. Mel's story is fantastic and complicated and generally far too good for a short newspaper column to do justice to. If you have even the slightest interest, you ought to check out his 1988 memoir. But here are a few of the high points of his Oregon story. Mel was born in San Francisco in 1908, but moved with his parents to Portland soon after and grew up in the Rose City. In fact, if Portland's radio station owners had not been so stingy, he might have remained in Oregon, pouring his talents out on the local market here, which, you have to admit, would have been a rotten shame. The funny lad got on the radio when he was 19. Someone from a local radio station, KGW, got hold of him and asked if he might like to perform on an evening program called the Hoot Owls. The pay was negligible, but for young Mel, the experience was solid gold. From singing funny songs, he moved into a comedy routine and developed formidable ad-libbing skills. Meanwhile, to keep enough money coming in, he started playing tuba for a couple of 9-man big band ensembles. Mel continued this way for several years, supporting his hoot owl habit as an increasingly successful tuba player and an orchestra conductor. But in 1932, he decided he just had to go to Hollywood and try to make it big as a voice artist. So he loaded up his old Model A Ford and headed south. In Hollywood, Mel worked sporadically in one-shot appearances on radio comedies and spent most of his time working a circuit of employment offices at studios and radio stations. His ability to take no from a rude front office flunky and bounce back smiling and confident 5 minutes later, walking through the door of his next prospect, became legendary, but not legendary enough to land him steady work. After all, there was a depression on. All told, Mel's trip to Hollywood was a bust, but he did meet his wife there, a fellow radio person named Estelle Rosenbaum. Then one day Mel got a big break in Hollywood. Well, sort of. It came in the mail, postmarked from Portland. Radio station KEX was offering him his own radio show if he would come on home. And would he? You bet. Estelle, a native Californian, was a bit apprehensive. "Is it really as rainy as people say?" she asked him. "No, it's not too bad," Mel replied. He should have known better than to tempt the weather gods like that. When they arrived, of course, it was pouring. The show was called Cobwebs and Nuts. Although only Mel was paid for it, he and Estelle both worked at the studios at 1190 KEX for 16 hours a day, furiously writing, prepping, and broadcasting the show, which got very popular. Mel and Estelle became local celebrities, and the show was moved to the more prestigious 620 KGW station. But the couple, though famous, was still getting by on just $60 a month. Mel recounts a time when the two of them drove to Vancouver for a 5-cent bag of caramel corn and discovered on arrival that they were 1 cent short. Of course, it was the Great Depression, so the impoverished couple had plenty of company, but still it was a lot of work, and they were getting nowhere, and Cobwebs and Nuts had stopped being fun to do. Finally, one day, Estelle looked at Mel and said, "Do you want to have a nervous breakdown, or do you want to go back to Los Angeles?" "Mel, if we're going to be broke, at least let's be broke somewhere where it's warm." That was all Mel needed to hear. This time, when Mel left Portland, he didn't come back. But his voice sure did. That's it for today. You've been listening to an archive column from the Offbeat Oregon History newspaper column. If you'd like more, there are a couple dozen more of these audio columns on iTunes, and they'll pop right up if you do a search for Oregon under podcasts. While you're there, do me a favor and write a quick review of the podcast. Little podcasts like this get noticed by being reviewed by listeners. There are also hundreds of columns in text and pictures form going back to 2008 on our website at offbeatoregon.com. On the website, you can also subscribe to this podcast or its text equivalent so that they'll be automatically delivered straight to your smartphone via RSS. And you'll find links to the Offbeat Oregon Facebook page and Twitter feed so that you can join the conversation too. All the columns are covered under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license. Details, offbeatoregon.com/cc. Finally, if you're ever up in Corvallis, drop me a line. I love geeking out with fellow history buffs, especially over good coffee or Irish stout, if you like that better. I'm at Finn at offbeatoregon.com, or if you do Twitter, at offbeatoregon. And I got one more thing I wanted to mention. My book's coming out on June 5th, and if you like this column, chances are pretty good that you're going to like it, too. It's called Wicked Portland, The Wild and Lusty Underworld of a Frontier Seaport Town, and I'd like to invite you to check it out. The webpage is up. It's at wicked-portland.com. So let me know what you think. That's all I've got for you today. Thanks for listening, and have a great day.